Hello there and greetings. It's Business Life 360 After Hours. I'm your host, Christy Kay, and this is the podcast where we take that deep breath and that deeper dive into the real lives, experiences, and perspectives of success-driven people. We are going to tackle real-life topics at the intersection of business and life after the workday, when we're theoretically off the clock. That's when After Hours picks up, because that's when the convergence of life moments and the workday truly shows up. It is, after all, After Hours. Our topic on this Business Life 360 After Hours episode is a world-class chef's dilemma: fame, success, obesity. This podcast episode is for anyone who has experienced success but may also be struggling with a personal health challenge and may need inspiration to get through it. This is world-class inspiration from a world-class chef who daily faced his challenge, food. Our guest makes his living cooking, eating, teaching, and developing the best Deep South recipes ever. Yet there was a point, behind the scenes, where he was facing the health battle of his life: obesity. Business Life 360 After Hours listeners, we're about to get real and talk business and life with world-class New Orleans chef Kevin Belton. Chef Kev, I feel like we need to clink champagne glasses together to celebrate this conversation.
I think we should.
Let's do it. So welcome, Chef Kevin Belton. Let's take a deep dive. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. So you're a Louisiana boy. You are on PBS. If we turn on our televisions, you're there. Your best-selling books are in the bookstores and online. You are on TV shows in New Orleans and all around. And I feel like one way or another, you are in all of our homes and all of our kitchens. So tell me this. I need to know. Who taught you to cook?
Mother and grandmother. You know, and, you know, it's such an honor to be in folks' homes, like you say. You know, I'm so appreciative of that. And I am so happy when I hear from folks that say, oh, I watch you, and I made it. And that's the whole point of doing it, is to show folks to pass it on. You know, my mother and grandmother passed on that love of Louisiana cooking to me. So for me to be able to pass it on, what I grew up with, to folks around the country, that's immeasurable. Oh. It's just a great thing.
And you provide us so much joy and enjoyment in our kitchens, so, and at the dinner table. So that is fabulous. And, you know, I want to talk to you, too, about all these things that you do. You have an amazing work ethic. Where did that come from?
Probably mother, you know. My mom was a teacher. Her sister was a principal. So I grew up with a whole family of educators. But my mother taught at a business school, but she also would go and help out at high schools, just volunteer her time at high schools, elementary schools, wherever, just to teach kids what to expect when they got older. But at the business school, she worked summers with high school kids, but then she also worked with veterans who were coming back from Vietnam and wanted to continue their education to get their college degree and all. So it's she worked pretty much around the clock at work and at home. So that's where I get it from.
No kidding. Yeah, your mom sounds amazing. And I was going to ask you, because I've seen things online with you teaching youth, that you are a phenomenal teacher yourself, and where that came from. But it sounds to me like I know the answer now.
Well, you know, growing up in Louisiana, everybody sits in the kitchen. You know, the living room, the dining room, they're there, but everybody sits in the kitchen. And when you're sitting at that kitchen table, you may not realize it, but you're learning about health because some family member or a friend of the family is sick, so you're learning about medical things. You watch your folks pay bills, so you learn about banking. There is so much than just eating at that table that you learn. And being at that table, that's where I hung out. I got to watch the adults. So I got to learn from adults how life kind of works and what you have to do. And it all started right at the kitchen table.
Mm-hmm. And so food has always been a part of your life and kind of at the core. And I want to get down to the heart of a really important matter with you and talk about your health. So you've had the successful career and you still continue to do so with your podcast, your TV shows, interviews, cooking, speaking engagements. You've done it all and continue to. But your health has become something of concern, or has through the years. I know you're kind of a big fella. Let's call you what, 6'9"?
Yes.
Yes, the old tall drink of water. Some of our listeners currently may be struggling with some weight issues. And I know you've been very real about your struggle. And first of all, I want to say I honor you for opening up your story so that others can learn and be inspired by you with this struggle that you've had. But here you are. You're this world-class chef, and you're in this position where, you know, you're famous, you're notorious for the incredible cooking and the recipes and the appearances and all of these things, yet you found yourself battling obesity kind of on the down low. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, when you're young and you're playing sports, and I got to play football, fortunately, in high school and college, and just a little bit in semi-pro and professional level, you think you're invincible. You know, the bigger, the better you can get your body, the better in shape you can get your body, is the better you can perform. And so when you stop, you don't realize how much you had worked out to keep in that shape, to get in that great shape. And then you go, oh, I can take a breath. I can relax some. But you're still eating the same amount that you did before, but you aren't moving as much.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, the weight starts. I played around 310, and the weight just started creeping and creeping and creeping. And it got up, and I say, oh, I better do something about it. I came down a little bit. But the heaviest I got was to 452. And I realized then, I'm like, okay, something's got to give. And that's when I decided, okay, everybody has their point. I was just feeling uncomfortable, and I knew that was the time I needed to do something.
Now, you told me, too, at one point that you were watching yourself on television. You saw that you were like you had like a little bit of a waddle, or you started to kind of sway when you were walking. You said that was like one of the indicators, like, okay, let's not have that continue.
Yeah, because, you know, it's you don't feel it, and you don't. I felt it. But when you're able to watch yourself walking and you're waddling back and forth and you're rocking back and forth, and it's like, oh, my goodness, yeah, okay.
You're like, wait, when did that start? Yeah.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
I mean, like, was food a comfort for you, or was it just like one of those things where, as an occupational thing, you're eating while you're cooking, and it's delicious because your food is delicious. How can you not eat your own food because it's phenomenal? But was it one of those things where you just kind of, as you said, gradually you didn't really monitor the calories and you were like eating more than you were expending? Or was it one of those things where you started saying, okay, I'm bored, now I'm going to start eating?
No, it wasn't so much that. You know what it was I was working so much. I was teaching, and I'm teaching all during the day. So in the morning, I might have something to eat in the morning. I wouldn't have time to grab lunch, and I'm around food all day. When you're around it, you see it, you smell it, you have to taste it. You don't want it. So finally, you get home, you relax, and you realize, oh, wait, I'm starving. I'm hungry. And then, of course, then you eat too much. You overeat, then you go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
Where I wasn't making the time to take care of myself. So it wasn't the amount I was eating. And it wasn't until I worked with a guy named Mackie Shillstone. Mackie works with a lot of professional athletes. Mackie made me write down everything I was eating in a day.
Oh, the old food diary.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a scary thing when you start looking at it, right?
Well, I gave it to him, and he's going, wait. No, I said, what you eating a day? I'm like, yeah, this is what I am eating in a day. And he's going, wait up. This should be like one meal. And he says, your body will store things and turn it to fat because it doesn't know when it's going to get fed again.
No kidding. So you were almost starving yourself and screwing up your metabolism.
Well, you know, now they have the starvation diets.
Mm-hmm.
Where I shouldn't say starvation diets. It's a fasting.
Yes.
It's a fasting
intermittent
regime.
Fasting, and, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think they've worked that out more, but I was not doing that. I wasn't doing it properly. Let's put it this way. I would eat something in the morning, and then at night I'd overeat. So, like you said, my body would store food because it doesn't know when it was going to get fed again.
Very
interesting.
So it would
store, and it would turn it to fat for energy.
And it was as much probably a time management thing and as anything, because as you said, you're so busy during the day and then boom, you come home and eat a lot and then you don't eat. So it's sort of that high and low of the food cycle.
Yeah, and I tell you something else about professional chefs a lot of folks don't realize. You know, unless you're going home and cooking for the family and things like that, which eventually I did do, but when my boys got older, you know, and you didn't have to cook for them, you know, you leave work, you've been around food all day, the last thing you're going to do is go home and cook. Mm. So you swing through that drive-thru.
Get out. Chef Kev goes to the drive-thru.
Let me tell you what, most chefs go through drive-thrus. I was at a meeting with some chefs. We were sitting around a table talking about some visiting chefs were coming in town and we were planning a meal for them. And they're like, well, let's make our favorites. And I'm like, well, what did you have last night? And one of the guys went, oh, I went to Burger King. And the other guy went, what'd you have? I went to Wendy's. I was at McDonald's. And, you know, and around the table, it was all fast food.
I do recall the first time, now that you're bringing this up, the first time I met you, and I said, so what did you have for breakfast this morning? And you said, pizza. And I was like, wait a minute. Is that right? It just didn't fit. You know, I was like, wait. Okay, but Chef Kev doesn't make a gourmet breakfast every morning?
No, not at all. And I don't cook at home at all. Monica, my wife, she does all the cooking at home.
That's what I was going to ask you. Oh, steaks. You'll make steaks. Nice.
Yeah, I'll cook the steaks, and there might be one or two other things I cook, but most of the days, she cooks.
Wow, good for her.
And I also have to give her credit because she helped me in the process of losing the weight. Because it's always important to have somebody for that support. You know, they always say that the food police, well, I'm married to the sheriff.
Mm.
But I started walking every day. And, you know, and when I started walking, I remember she would go out walking and I'd go with her. And I'd go maybe at 4:52, I'd go maybe 3 blocks. And it's like, okay, I'm headed back home. But as time went on, that 3 blocks turned into 4 blocks. That 4 blocks turned into 6 blocks. That 6 blocks turned into a mile. And I also went cold turkey and got off breads, got off the pizza, got off all of that kind of stuff. And I did just soup for 2 weeks. And I find that it's mostly a mind thing. It was so mental. I wasn't physically missing food, but mentally I was missing it. And slowly started to introduce things back in to my diet. But I had a friend, we'd go to lunch and he would ask for a to-go container. And as soon as his meal would come, he'd put half of it away. And he told me, I'll eat this other half for dinner. Or if we're at dinner, he would eat the other half for lunch the next day. Because if it's in front of us, we're going to eat it all. And think about this. A lot of times when folks ask about restaurants, hey, did you like such and such restaurant? 9 times out of 10, you get the response is, oh, yeah, you got to go because they give you so much, you're going to have some to take home. Well, I don't want to take it home if it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
So we are in that mode about the big plates. We don't need those big plates. And, you know, every day it's a struggle. I still slip. There is nothing better than a hot piece of French bread and a cup of coffee or a hot bagel and a cup of coffee.
Oh,
but those
great.
Are bad carbs.
Mm-hmm,
and,
right.
And for me personally, I can't do that every day.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever get to the point in your battle with obesity and weight? Did you get to the point ever where you were afraid and where you were saying, okay, this is scary from a health standpoint?
My grandmother was diabetic and I watched her take insulin every day. And after Hurricane Katrina, there were two chefs from New Orleans, a couple of well-known chefs. Ronnie Seaton used to work at the White House. Chef Austin Leslie was well-known for Chesalen restaurant. And both of these guys passed away from complications from diabetes. And I was so blessed and so lucky because I never had heart problems. I never had high blood pressure. I never had diabetes. But from watching them battle diabetes and how it slowly affects the body, that always scared me. You know, diabetes is one of those things that slowly eats at the body. And I watched that with these two chefs go through that. And I didn't want to be in that position. So I had to jump and take action before my body reacted to something So I had to take control of it.
Mm-hmm.
And thank goodness I had the support to do it.
Well, absolutely. And I think your wife, Monica, being that support network and that system for you and really keeping you on track, that's so important. And I think for some of our listeners as well, being able to persevere and stay with it, that stick-to-itness, as they say, in a healthy lifestyle, that's so important. And for you, what other components did you have? I mean, do you have to plan your meals? Do you time block your workouts? How do you keep it going and keep it top of mind and really say, okay, on occasion I can have that bread or I can have that, you know, dessert or whatever it may be. But yet you really always, always are going back to, I'm not going back to the health, you know, the weight I was at 452 pounds.
Yeah, exactly. You have to tell yourself that. And, you know, I tell you, I try to walk. There are certain days I get busy and I don't get a chance to go walk, but I try to go walk every day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's that balance where, yeah, we work hard, but we also have to take the time to do things for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm learning, and she reminds me, you have to be selfish to do something for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so that walk, that taking the time to sit down and read a book, that way to relax where I don't have to just be home and just be a homebody. That's great.
So for those of us who are listening who've struggled with weight in their lives, but yet they're still drawn to eating good food, they probably have your cookbook and they're probably making all of your meals and they're enjoying your, you know, the good cooking and the recipes. What advice can you give them from your perspective?
Well, you know, one of the great things about the recipes that I try to do is the fact that however you cook at home, you can always take in and adapt them, whether you're allergic to something. If something calls for, say, chicken, you could do it with seafood. Or you can make it, instead of with meat, you can make it vegetarian. But the other thing is, keep a small plate. Keep a small plate in a small bowl and eat off of that.
Yeah.
Or don't make the huge batch. You know, make that portion, but then bring it to friends, bring it to your neighbors, or have the family share it all. And just try to eat fresh. That's the most important thing, too, is eating fresh.
Mm-hmm. So eating kale versus eating a chocolate chip cookie, I don't know.
Hey, you can eat kale 5 days of the week, but you got to have that chocolate chip cookie at least one day.
At least a bite or two of that chocolate chip cookie.
Yes.
So listen, I want to talk a little bit more about family for you. When you finish with all of your podcasts, your TV shows, and all the things that you do in any given day, kind of refer back to that work ethic and all the things that you do, what does your life look like at the end of the day?
At the end of the day, we sit down, we'll have dinner. We usually watch a little TV together, or we sit and read. You know, all of us are big readers. Monica was a teacher. She's taught at the college level. We'll just homebodies, you know. It's there's something about being quiet. Everybody sees what I do. But usually when I'm not having it run my mouth, I usually don't. I sit so quiet. But Noah, our son, he will read a book a day if you leave him alone. And so we're big readers.
Now, does your son cook?
Yeah, he has started. And, you know,
Nice. It's
crazy because he only liked, like, he had about 10 foods that he liked.
All right.
And all of a sudden, it's like, hey, can I make such and such? Wait, what?
So
okay. And he started.
Right, exactly. The 10 foods, we can all relate to that as parents. Like, come on, can't you expand the palate a little bit? Oh, no, 10 foods.
Well, you know, for him, and it's something that I think a lot of folks don't think about, it's not so much a taste for him, it's texture.
Mm.
He doesn't like us. He's not a soft food texture, like oatmeal, grits, that type of soft texture, mashed potatoes, yeah, mac and cheese.
Has he had a good chocolate mousse?
Now, that he likes chocolate. Desserts are a whole different ballgame.
Now we're talking.
But for food-wise, it's a texture thing. And I think that's something that we often don't think about. A lot of times when we think, oh, someone may not like something, it's because of the taste. And forget, there's also a texture to it.
Does it drive you crazy to have to clean up after you cook?
No, I clean as I go.
Yes, I love it.
I watch my mom. I watched my mom cook. Our house was a house where everybody came over for the holidays, and I watched her cook these huge meals. But after it was over, the only thing left to be clean were the pots that the food was in. It was amazing how she could do that. And
incredible.
To me, it doesn't taste right. If the kitchen is dirty and you've got pots and pans and dishes everywhere, to me, it tastes better if you clean as you go.
Now, I need to ask a question that's personal. Why can't I crack a good egg? Why is there always an eggshell in the bowl? What am I doing wrong?
That you just want to make sure your guests know that it's a fresh egg.
That's right. Yes,
you know,
that's
actually, if you do have problems with that, if you take another piece of shell, that's the easiest way to get a piece of eggshell out of the egg is using a piece of shell. Instead of trying to take your finger to get it,
yes,
use a piece of the eggshell and it'll attach.
Good tip. I'm going to use that often. I don't know what it is with me and cracking eggs, but it's just not a forte.
Just so. Crack it on a, take a knife if you want and just crack it with a knife or use two hands on the counter and then right into the bowl or...
All right. Yeah. So I've asked you this before, and I'm going to ask you again because I know there's an answer in here somewhere. What is one food that you absolutely do not like to eat?
Oh, goodness. See, we were having this discussion not too long ago. Monica says there has to be something that you don't like, and I haven't found it yet.
Come on.
Help me with this?
Oh, my goodness.
I'm looking over at her. And she's like, no, I can't think of anything.
She can't find it
either. I will try almost anything. The only thing I can tell you what I don't think I would like. Have you ever heard of the 100-year-old, I think it's called a Chinese egg? I don't think I'd like that.
Okay. All right.
But anything else, I'll try. And
Monica,
you know,
we
just
found
quickly,
it.
If someone doesn't like something, don't give up on it that first time. Try it prepared a different way.
You know,
because the way things are prepared, they'll taste different.
As an adult, I appreciate that. I've tried that with my kids and saying, come on, just try it a second time. I know you've had it before, but give it another try. No, they will not. So specific to zucchini bread, I think, is the one that I've tried over and over again with them. And I just can't get them to try it again.
Wow.
But do you have a favorite recipe or a go-to when people come over? You mentioned to us earlier that Monica does the cooking. Do you have people come over to your house for dinner, or are you just like, okay, wait a minute, I'm off the clock, we're going to go have our dinner, they're going to go read, we have our family quiet time, I'm not cooking for anybody? How does that work at night?
You know, because of timing and the days and all, we really don't entertain at home. It's our little quiet time. Now, what does happen when I have to film something and I'm at home filming something and I have leftovers, I usually make enough. One of my videographers lives a few blocks away, so I always make Lenny and Joni a little extra and bring it to them.
And then
we get on the phone with each other and talk about how good it is. So he's busy too. So our way of visiting and entertaining is over the phone talking about the same food that we're eating. I know it sounds crazy, but it works for us.
Oh, that's great. So if you weren't a chef and you didn't like to cook, what career would you be in?
If I weren't a chef and didn't like to cook, I wanted to go into the Navy. A friend in high school, we decided we had Naval ROTC, and we decided to go into the Naval Academy together. Well, he got in, but I couldn't get in because I was an inch too tall already. So I would have been a career Navy man, probably.
So
I would have gotten in and grown, it would have been different.
Yeah.
David Robinson was 6'5" when he went into the academy, and he grew to 6'7", 1".
Well, Chef Kevin, give us one takeaway nugget from this interview about our topic, about your philosophy, or those who may be dealing with success, as you have, while overcoming something difficult at this time.
Some point when you get home, take 10 or 15 minutes for yourself. Whether it's sitting with your loved one, whether it's by yourself, whether it's with your pet, and just relax and appreciate the day and the people that you have around you.
That is the best takeaway nugget. And I think I have one here too from you. I've got many, but I think it's sort of like going for the gusto, going for it. If you have something going on in your life, accept it and take action. That's one thing you've taught me, is really take action when challenges present themselves in your life.
Life is potholes, and there are potholes all throughout life. How deep they are, some are deeper than others, but we always seem to get out of them. So you always got to keep climbing.
Mm-hmm. So, Chef Kevin Belton, how and where can our Business Life 360 After Hours listeners find you and your products and your shows?
They can go on Amazon. They can on WYES is our PBS station. They'll have the cookbooks, of course, Create TV, or if listeners like to go to PBS and get PBS Passport. That way they can download all the shows from all the years.
Indeed. Thank you for being the amazing and authentic you, and for sharing your triumph over obesity, and for giving us the best food ever, as well as giving us the most enthusiastic, infectious perspective on life. You're the best.
And thank you for doing both sides, work and taking care of ourselves. It's Total 360.
Thanks, Chef Kev. Can't wait to talk to you again.
Same here.
Find success by your own definition at your intersection of business and life on my next podcast, Business Life 360 After Hours. Thanks for joining us. I'm Christy Kay.
Business Life 360 After Hours is hosted and produced by Christy Kay. Audio engineering, production, and editing by Chris Pfeiffer. Be sure to join Christy for her award-winning television series, Business Life 360, the third Thursday of the month on WGTE-HD or at WGTE.org/B360. Business Life 360 After Hours is a production of WGTE Public Media.